Welcome to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Can emotions really be responsible, at least in part, for illness? Well, the field of psychoneuroimmunology thinks that they can. And in fact, they believe in the studies and the evidence they found from the research that half of the patients who visit the doctors annually really are suffering more from an emotional disorder than they are a physical disorder. Psychoneuroimmunology believes that all illness starts at the core of an emotion, because an emotion changes the body chemically, that changes the way the body is able to function the way that it needs to. However, interestingly enough, they're also learning that while emotions can contribute to illness, it really isn't the emotion at all. While it does change the chemistry of the body, but what it really is how the emotions create the attitude on how we see life. So we hear so much about emotions creating illness. Well, they certainly are an integral part of the process, both in the physiology of the body and how we emotionally feel about ourselves. But more importantly, it's how do all of those things color the way that we look at our life, and how do those emotions suppress the expression of emotions to be able to come to the formation of illness. A very interesting process, and in many ways, kind of like a dog chasing its tail. Well, that's what I'm going to be talking about today. Thank you so much for joining me today. I'm medical intuitive Carol Reitberger. Throughout the show, I'm going to be sharing how, as a medical intuitive, I found that we actually store the energetics of emotions, negative emotions, in specific organs and glands in the body, and then also that we hold emotions in our it's going to come in and affect the physical body. So that's what I'm going to be sharing today throughout the show. The information I'm going to be sharing is actually a part of my book, Healing Happens With Your Help. If you haven't read that book, I encourage you to purchase it. You can purchase it through hayhouse.com or amazon.com. In the book, I actually look at 23 common illnesses, reveal the hidden meaning behind them, and then also in the book, there are charts that show where you hold specific emotions in your muscle structure, in your organs, and in your glands. It's a very enlightening book, and I've actually found from the people that I've talked to that it really has been very helpful in their healing process, because when we look at healing the body, we have to also look at healing the mind and healing the soul. So this just gives you a different perspective on whatever is happening in the body that could be contributing to whatever the illness or syndrome or disorder that you're having. So in order for us to heal, we really have to heal all layers of what creates the energetic imbalance in the energy field, and then also the emotions, the psychological part, the thoughts, and then voila, the body starts to heal. I'm also going to be taking your calls today, so if you have a question for me about your health or you would like to talk to me about the topic of emotions, then what I do is I will encourage you to call me. You can call me at 877-230-3062. Or international callers, Canadians as well, you can call me at 425-644-5620. First of all, I want to let you know I'm going to be in Grand Rapids, Michigan. For any of the listeners that live in the Midwest and the East Coast that would like to come and spend time with me, I'm going to be offering two events. On Friday night, October 23rd, I'm going to be offering an evening of medical intuitive readings. And what I do is I just come in and we just start chatting. I tell you about the energy shifts that are happening, how it affects your body, and then also go in and answer as many questions as time allows me. And I get to share my site with you, and then also my insight as far as the hidden meanings behind it. And then on Saturday and Sunday, I'm going to be offering a two-day class on sacred transition, where I'm actually going to be sharing information about my near-death experience and what I learned with being on the other side and what the other side is like. And in this class on sacred transition, none of us really want to think about dying. But what it does is it helps us understand that when we cross over out of our body into form, that we really aren't alone, that we have an entire soul family and soul cluster and beings, souls that are there to be able to welcome us. And it's kind of like having your first birthday when you cross over on the other side. So I'm going to be sharing that. And I also have a special guest, Patty Ortel, who is a medium. And she's going to be sharing with the audience some of the different messages that maybe you would like to have from those who have crossed over. So we're really going to look at that transitional process, both from a metaphysical and a spiritual look at what it's like to shed the body and to go into light. If you've had a loved one who has transitioned or is in the process of transitioning, then what it will do is it will give you a different perspective of the grace of this process and of the glory that happens on the other side. Very enlightening class, and I hope that if it's something that you're interested in, you'll join me. Again, that's Friday night, October 23rd, and Saturday, Sunday, October 24th and 25th. You can actually register online at my website at www.ritberger.com. I hope you'll join me. Well, I think it's important that I really start the show by going into depth about what is an emotion, because so often we use emotion and feeling interchangeably, and they are really very different things that happen not only in the physiology of the body, but also happen differently in the energetic field of the body. So an emotion is an instantaneous chemical reaction in the body. It's a fight or flight. That fight or flight and that emotion can happen from a negative emotion or a negative experience or a positive emotion and a positive experience. You can have the same emotional reaction chemically in the body winning the lottery as you do as being in a car accident. The body doesn't know the difference. All it knows is that there's been a strong emotion such as fear or excitement that will change the chemistry, but that's the best way to know it's an emotion. Feeling is just information. It's a thought. It's a thought that you're sharing. I feel that this is the situation, or let me share how I'm feeling. All we're doing at that point in time is literally just sharing information. We don't have an emotional charge to the information. All we want to do is share. If someone doesn't want the information, then we immediately get any emotional charge attached to it, and the chemistry of the body changes. We go into fight or flight, and all of a sudden we feel like we're absolutely in a power struggle with someone. So one is just information. Feeling is neutral. Emotion, on the other hand, has a judgment attached to it. And that judgment says you are either right or you are wrong. The importance of sharing this is to let you know that when someone says to you, you know, there you are being emotional again, or, you know, you're always having an emotional reaction, then by you knowing the difference, then you can say to them, this isn't an emotional reaction. I am just sharing information with you. You can do with you the information whatever you would like to, but there's no ownership in the outcome with an emotion. There definitely is. And if you're familiar with my work around personalities, the green and the orange personality makes decisions based on emotional judgment. A decision is either right or wrong. And people see you as being emotional. But you, many times while you do make decisions based on emotion, you just want to share and talk to someone and share your dreams or your desires or whatever it is. You don't want their input. And you're not trying to push yourself on someone else. And what I find is that as a medical intuitive, the emotion itself and the chemical change really isn't what causes the illness or the problem that could build to an illness if it's a chronic situation. But again, I go back, it's the attitudes. If you keep being told to be quiet or you keep getting silenced from an emotional reaction, you suppress those emotions. It's that suppression of emotions that energetically creates pre-illness in the energy body. And then over the course of time, if that suppression continues and becomes chronic, then it can actually show up in the physical body. If you're not familiar with your personality color, I'm going to direct you again back to my website. And that website is www.ritberger.com. There is an actual mini personality assessment on that site, or you can go to my personality site. It's whatcolorisyourpersonality.com. There'll be an assessment on there. It's a short version of the long form that I use, but it's a great way for you to start to see who you are. And immediately, once you start reading about who you are, you'll go, oh my gosh, no wonder I have those power struggles. No wonder I have the problem communicating. No wonder I have the stress in my life. No wonder my shoulders hurt or my jaw's tight or my back hurts or my feet hurt or I'm feeling stuck, because you'll start to recognize that it's just the differences in personality. All of my books, except for The Healing Happens, Your Personality, Your Health, What Colors Your Personality, Love, I love to say it that way, Love, What's Personality Got to Do With It, and Managing People, What's Personality Got to Do With It, all of them have the full assessment. So you can get the T's to begin to understand who you are, find out more, and I will tell you, it will just change the way that you see yourself. So to learn more about your color, again, you can go to the website. So what we're going to do is, we first of all know that there's a difference between emotion and feeling. And what I'm going to do in the next segment is I'm going to go in and I'm going to actually talk about where we store certain emotions in the physical body. But I want to jump in right now and take as many calls as I can. Hi, Lisa, line one from New York. Hi, how are you?
Oh, hi, Carol. Thanks so much for taking my call. It's great.
Oh, my pleasure. So how can I help you?
Well, I've never been able to really hook into any of the colors in the personality profiles. I just seem to be a bunch of all of them mixed up.
Okay,
I've always
good.
Had trouble with typing myself in general.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And I can, just listening to your voice, I can understand that, because I can feel you go from that compassionate, sensitive to making decisions logically.
Yep. It's complicated.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. So let me go in and tell you a little bit more, just to give you some insight, not to tell you who you are. My sense is that you've lived your life as a green. And a green is a chameleon in the personality world, meaning that they can really go in and change their color and adapt to any situation and fit in any situation. A yellow personality tends to, especially in the female body, take on the green behavioral characteristics so we don't feel like such an odd duck in this world. It's like being in a female body but having the logic of male thinking. And we're not sure whether we're fish or fowl. So as a result, we spend a lot of time being someone other than who we are. The yellow part of the personality has a difficult time getting in touch with the emotions and the depth of the emotion, because yellows don't make decisions based on emotional judgment. So as a result, it's more logic, more analytical, more of a reasoning process. And when someone says something to us that hurts our feelings, it's like we have to dig so deep inside of us to try to figure out what it is. Does that help at all?
Are you saying that I'm a green that goes to yellow? Is that what you were?
Or I'm saying you're either a green that goes to yellow, or in fact, you are a yellow that uses green to be able to cope.
Okay.
So what I encourage you to do is, if you're inclined, if you don't have my, do you have my books?
I don't have it yet, no.
Okay. Well, what you could do is go back on the website and read both the green and the yellow and see if any one of those feels more like you, then it'll give you some insight. And then if you do purchase the books, then it'll really give you insight. So that's that first part. Now, what's the other part I can help you with, hon?
I was just curious about your reading in terms of me on a soul level and how my emotions, which I've done tons and tons of healing, and, you know, going through a lot of transition, transmutation, and still not seeing sort of the results of the healing in terms of my life, you know, manifesting the right people, the soul family, mm-hmm. and the right companionship. So I'm still having fear and some anxiety about that, but being optimistic at the same time. So,
absolutely.
Do you see the transition? I was wondering, as a medical intuitive, are you seeing the transition?
Absolutely. No, I absolutely am. And let me tell you what I'm seeing about you. I'm seeing that you had something that happened probably 3 years in your life that caused you to stop looking outside for the love and the acceptance that you were hoping to be able to find in relationships, not only with your family, but the people that have been in your life, and realizing that it was almost shallow. It was almost like having to fragment your own being in order to be able to get those types of relationships, or to feel that intimate bond, or to be even understood. And what you did is you started turning inward. And in that turning inward, we have to go in and we have to really become connected with ourselves. And we have to start by looking at our thoughts, looking at our patterns of behavior. We have to go in and look at the emotions and what do we feel inside, and how do those emotions, are that, you know, the anger, is it just a little anger, or do we really want to go out and touch something, or, you know, just let it blow, whatever it may be. So we really have to spend the time to go in. And Lisa, you had to spend the time, hon, to go in and to go to that depth of who you are, and then take that depth and what you're learning about yourself and what you personally need from an intimacy standpoint, what you personally desire from a relationship. Honey, you don't want gender roles. You don't want that you do dishes and someone else takes out the garbage. You want a partnership. And in that partnership means that if you can't take out the garbage or do the dishes, then someone else is going to do it without you having to ask them to be able to do it. So you're looking for that part of a partnership that is mental, that you can feel like you're mentally connected, you can share your dreams, and you can share your intelligence in a way where you don't feel like you have to harness it. You can meet someone at that spiritual level, so they share a lot of the same dreams and desires and the same philosophy that you do about spirituality, about life, about potentiality, about hope, about all the different aspects of what you've learned about yourself. And then you want a relationship that mentally and spiritually creates at an intimate level that you can just be who you are. You can shed all the people that you've been in order to be accepted or liked or loved or self-esteem, whatever it may be. So first of all, let me know, let me tell you and let you know that in the last 3 years, if I had to pull out of my desk right here a box of gold stars to give you, honey, I'm going to have to give you 4 boxes of gold stars because you have really been willing to go in and to touch that core and discover. And that's a very frightening place for all of us as humans, because we don't know what's there. And if we discover what's there, then we don't know what to do with it. If we don't know what to do with it, how do we bring it to expression? If we bring it to expression the wrong way, are we going to be vulnerable? So it's literally when Carolyn Mace talks about the dark night of the soul, what you've done is you've gone in into the dark part of who you are to illuminate who you are. So that part of it, congratulations, 4 boxes of gold stars. My sense is, sweetie, that probably as young as 2 years old, you took on another personality color so you could look like you weren't that square peg trying to fit in that round world. As a result, what you've done is you have layers and layers of behavior, of comfort zones, of habits that really don't reflect who you are. It takes time for us to shed those situations. It takes time for the body to energetically shed those situations. It's like we open up a door, like on The Price is Right. Do you want door number 1, door number 2, nor door number 3? But what we do is we step inside to the door that is the most obvious to us at the time, only to find out, honey, there's more doors.
Exactly. Years and years now, of doors. Yeah.
Years and years and years of doors. The human mind, the way it's designed, and gosh, I can't say thank you enough for being the first caller, because it's so much in alignment with what this show is about. And there's so many listeners that I can just intuitively pick up that are saying, oh my gosh, this is me, this is me. So another gold star to you. So going in, the mind, the way it's designed is, the minute we identify a problem and we identify a solution, it's done. And the mind moves on. But the emotional charges behind those thoughts aren't as easy to say done. We have to go in and see what degree is that emotion. We have to see how much has it compromised us in our life. What has it done? Is it served us well? Where has it served us well? Are there lessons I can learn? Do I need to say thank you? Do I need to forgive myself? Do I need to forgive others? Do I need to take it and say, okay, it's done, put on a new costume and to be someone else? Or do I let myself come forward? In our humanness, we become very impatient with that process. But if you, as you have, hun, and are still continuing to be hopeful and strong and courageous enough to continue this work, I want to tell you, hun, you're not a long ways away from where you want to be. And let me tell you how I know that. You started broadcasting to the universe. It feels somewhere maybe about 4.5 months ago, something changed again in your life. And it's like you declared to the universe, I am ready. And in that declaration, you've got a lot of things coming to you, a lot of things that were old things, and you look at them and you go, I'm sorry, that was old me, it's not the new me. But you are asking for a partner in your life. That partner is going to be someone that'll be fun to go to the movies with, have dinner with, hang out with, and maybe just sit and do nothing but read. That partner will have to build in a friendship basis before it becomes an intimate basis. But the message is out, and it is being heard, and it is starting to come back to you. And what I can say to you is that, honey, you may have to kiss a lot of frogs before you find that prince. So use your intuition. And I don't mean that negatively to all the men or the people out there, but it is the fact that when we do have those frogs come in our life, there's something inside, and intuition goes, oh, this is not where I want to be. I'm encouraging you to listen to that.
Mm-hmm.
The one area that I find is in the lower back. It's in the sacroiliac joint where the lumbar and the kind of the sacrum come together. You've got a little bit of deep-seated resentment there, honey. And don't point it in your own direction, sweetie, and then your back's going to start helping, moving easier, and you'll feel like you have more movement.
Okay.
That's it. Good job.
Nothing else physically then, or...
That's the only place where you started this question was all about the emotions. And I mean, I know that there's others that you've been working on, but the thing that feels like it's kind of stopping you, how that's how it feels to me energetically, that it's stopping you, is that there's some deep-seated resentment that is there. And as long as that resentment is self-directed, you're going to feel stuck, hon.
Self-directed.
You bet. What are you irritated about with yourself, honey? Think of those terms, you know, I mean, we could go on and on, and I love talking to you, but just think about what are the things that, you know, irritate you. You're a perfectionist. You expect yourself to do the best thing the best time the first time, and to look at some of those things and reframe what perfection means and be kind to yourself. And when you do something that feels like it's stupid, then don't go in and be a Tasmanian devil and just eat yourself alive, and don't hold the resentment toward it. Those are the kind of metaphors that I'm picking up. You've done a lot of work, so I had to dig real deep, I need to tell you, to pick up some of those, but you've done great work. So I want to thank you, Lisa, for starting the show out. What a great caller you are, and you have a wonderful day, hon.
Oh, thanks so much, Carol.
My pleasure. Hi, I'd like to talk to Amy from Massachusetts. Hi, Amy.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, I am
fine. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure. So are your trees turning, hon?
Oh, it's beautiful. It's windy today, but it's beautiful. Yeah.
Oh, very, very good. Well, how can I help you?
I actually have a lot in common with your first caller, but I wasn't sure. I took on a lot of emotional stuff, mm-hmm. so to speak, in the last 3 years myself, and just emotional trauma, I think. And I just kind of want to know where I stand. I don't know. I've worked so hard, kind of like the first caller.
Yep, and you know, the hard part of it, and that process and that hard will surface in joints. It will surface in the arteries in some people. Again, it's kind of a personality thing. You've done tremendous amount of work. The thing that I keep picking up, hun, is that all the things that you did to you know, to live, to survive, to be loved, and all the things we do, again, in our humanness, the one emotion that I keep finding in the muscles around the joints itself is guilt. Ask yourself,
yes.
is guilt running your life, honey?
Yes, it does. Actually, yeah. I see a lot in my dreams, and last night, I had a dream about, I had a plane to catch, and my whole life was on the ground, and I told this older gentleman, I don't know who this person is, that I'll be right back, I just need to find my ticket. And it was like, as far as the symbolic thing that I got was the fact that I feel like I want to take this airplane, but there's just so much, the history, the ancestors, the guilt of my parents, mm-hmm. and all this other stuff that's going on that's keeping me grounded. But it's time for me to go.
Well, and it is. And I just finished a class, this 4-day class on hermetic anatomy and the way the old metaphysicians looked at illness. And they believed that illness in the body was a result of ill thoughts. And, you know, in the psychological world, we can look at ill thoughts from anger to hate to fear to terror to the other. But the ancient metaphysicians believed that at the root of all ill thoughts mean thoughts that compromise us, thoughts that cause us to do things for other people's reasons. Now, we can have control of choosing to do things for other people's reasons. Then we aren't driven by guilt. But the metaphysicians believe that at the root of all ill thoughts were guilt. And that means that we end up doing things because we are afraid to let people down. We're not good enough. We're going to let people down.
Yeah.
They're not going to like us, whatever it may be. You
right.
came into this world at this time, Miss Indigo, light, beautiful being that you are, to be able to experience guilt, to be able to make choices where in your life that you are going to get rid of it. As you get rid of guilt, you change your vibration. As you change your vibration, you help every human that graces this earth to be able to look at guilt differently. So
right.
from the standpoint with the guilt, you came here to do guilt work. But what happens in the humanness is because it has so many different emotional implications to it, we get so bound by it. We can't lift ourselves and rise above and move beyond, is that, you know, transmutation of the hermetic alchemy is all about, is finding the impurities and, you know, rising above them and becoming pure, because the emotions that are attached to it. So one of the things I'm going to encourage you to do, and when I go in, I'm going to, because I find that you carry most of the guilt on the right side of your body. So I'm going to tell you that the gift of guilt, we're never born in guilt. It's the gift of other people in our life, whether it was intentional or not, it is. So the
right.
first thing I'd like you to do when you get off the air with me is I'd like you to get a piece of paper and a pen, and I would like you to write down the name of every person in your life that you can remember has been a contributor to your guilt.
Okay.
And then what I want you to do is I want you to go in and I want you to take that exercise, all those people, and I want you to go through and I want you to count the number of men and the number of women. And that's going to tell you which gender that you are going to be most susceptible to experiencing guilt that will cause you to do things that are not natural to you, but do things for other people's reasons. The man
right.
in your, the man in your dream, and
yes.
this particular symbology of it was that there is the predisposition in you that you don't want to let men down. And in that process, what you do is you recognize gender, and then you go through and you say, what behavior has this guilt created? I'm not good enough. I'm not pretty enough. I'm
right.
not smart enough. I'm too this. Write it down. Be very clear. Now, this isn't something we can maybe do real quickly. You've done enough work. You probably can. Then
yeah.
what you do is you write, yeah, you have, you write that down, hun, and then you put down one action plan that you could do right now to change that behavior. I'm not pretty enough, or I'm not good enough. One thing.
Okay.
Write it down what you can do, and then you ask yourself, can I do this or will I feel guilty?
Right. Okay.
And if you feel guilty, it's still there. Start the process over again. So
okay.
I pick up the joint issues that you're dealing with. is self-compromise. It's an autoimmune disorder, hon. You want to work with your immune system. You want to make it as happy and healthy as possible. It needs to have antioxidants. It needs greens. It needs red fruits and vegetables, and it needs orange fruits and vegetables, and it needs alkaline. If you do that, then all that guilt that's held in the muscles on the right side specifically that are causing those joints to not move as freely as they need to, that's feeling hard, that's causing the heart and the muscle to not move, that's causing the breakdown of the cartilage in your joints, and you work with the immune system, you work with inflammation, what's irritating you, that's that thing we talked about, then, honey, you're going to start noticing a difference, not only psychologically, but you're going to actually notice it in the physical body as well.
Excellent. So I just have one last question. What's alkaline? What is that?
Alkaline. You can go in. There's a lot of things that you could Google alkaline, and it will show you. Alkaline is kind of like a sodium bicarbonate in us. It's what neutralizes the acidity in the body. Alkaline would be greens. It would be spinach. It would be kale.
Oh,
it would be green beans. It would be blueberries. It would be red grapes. It would be beets. They're foods, but more importantly, so we have guilt. Guilt is an acidic emotion.
Right.
Alkaline would be a positive emotion that would neutralize that guilt. What would your positive emotion be?
Guilt-free, being able to go forward in my life and not have feeling a suitcase in my body.
And how would you feel? Would you be happy? Would
a
you
lot
be joyful?
Lighter and happier, yes, absolutely.
Okay, so every time you go in, guilt is acidic, happy is alkaline. Every time you feel guilty, find your happiness.
Okay. All right.
Thanks,
excellent.
My love.
Thank you so
very
much.
Very good.
Okay.
Appreciate the call. Okay. What I'm going to do, let's go into a quick commercial break. I'm going to be right back. Thanks for joining me. Stay tuned because I'm going to talk more about where we actually put these emotions in our muscles. Stay tuned.
Would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing.
Did you know that you can rate this show on iTunes? The show you're listening to right now. It's true. You can leave your thoughts about the show, the topic, the guest. You can even leave a suggestion. Then, before you leave, rate the show. The hosts love hearing from you. So next time you download this show from iTunes, leave your thoughts and rate the show for the host and for others.
If you have a question for Carol, call her now, toll free at 1-877-230-3062.
Edgar Cayce said, healing of the physical without the change in the mental, emotional, and spiritual aspects of our being brings little help to the individual in the end. Interesting. When we're looking at healing, we really need to look at all aspects of the contributors that are really behind illness. And that's what I'm doing today. Thank you so much for joining me. If you are just joining me, I'm talking about the biology of emotions and how we actually hold emotions in our physical body and how those emotions, if they stay there and become chronic, how they affect our attitude, whether it's pessimism or optimism, and those attitudes become chronic, and then voila, the body manifested in the form of tension, discomfort, or actually an illness. I'm also taking your calls, so if you have a question for me about your health, you can call me at 877-230-3062 or 425-644-5620. I'm going to be holding another Your Health teleclass October 29th at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The topic of this month is GERD. It's acid reflux. Many, many personalities, many people suffer from GERD. In fact, as I've been doing the research, the number is staggering. As far as the increase of how we're dealing with acid reflux, what I'm going to be doing on my teleclasses, they're 60 minutes. Excuse me, 60 minutes in length. I'm going to be sharing clinically about GERD. And then what I'm going to be doing is sharing some of the psychological implications, how it looks in the energy field, how to map it in the chakras. But most important, the role your personality plays in increasing your susceptibility to acid reflux or GERD. I'm also going to be answering calls. I try to do it within the 60-minute call. If I'm not able to, I usually stay on afterwards for 15 or 20 minutes. And kind of like my radio show today, I answer as many questions as I can from the people that are participating. If you join me on the teleclass, you will automatically receive an audio download of the teleclass so you can download it onto your iPod or your computer, and then also a printable PDF. They usually are running between 15 and 22 pages that goes through complete detail of the illness itself, and then being able to take that information, you can put it in a binder and keep it for future reference. So if you want to register for this event, you can go to my website, www.ritberger.com. If you can't join me, both the audio and the PDF will be available after the event. But go to ritberger.com. Again, that's November 29th, 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific Standard Time and 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. There are psychological reasons why emotions impact our health. And part of the reason for that is how the emotions themselves create a chemical reaction in the brain that causes a chemical reaction in the body. It's almost like a chain reaction, and that chain reaction actually affects the body itself and the structures within the body, the organs and glands. In my work around personality and my research, I found that specific personality colors have specific mapping in their body that triggers the origin site of the illness, and there's an emotion there, and then also primary and secondary symptom sites. So what we know is we know that the pituitary gland is the master gland of the endocrine system, meaning that it oversees and directs all hormones. And let me tell you, the role of the pituitary is it reads emotions. It reads what we see, hear, think, touch, see, hear, touch, taste, or smell, and it reads that energetically, emotionally. And if what we're seeing and hearing or whatever it is feels like it's got danger attached to it, that pituitary reads fear, changes the chemistry of the body. That chemistry can, in the greens, will settle in your neck before it goes to your adrenals. In the yellow, it goes to the adrenals. In the oranges, it goes to that deep gut feeling that you have. And reds, it shows up in your back instantly. So again, it's I was able to map it. There are most some common negative emotions that have impact on the body. First of all is fear. Every emotion that we have that is negative stems out of the emotion of fear. We have fear, anger, rage, terror, denial, hatred, frustration, grief, shame, sorrow, and then the emotion that we carry in the heart that is really responsible or contributor, I should say, to heart attack is sadness. Tremendous studies have been done to find out in psychoneuroimmunology what is the common emotion with people who have heart attacks, both male and female, and that is sadness. The most common positive emotions that have a real impactful, healthy way on the body are love, joy, excitement, passion, compassion, courage, hope, and optimism, which really isn't an emotion, but it is because it has love and joy and excitement and peace and all the other ones inside of it. The health benefit of a positive emotion or a positive attitude is it goes in and it acts like a canceller or an eraser that just erases all those negative emotions away. what can we do if we have negative emotions? Well, we can certainly, first of all, we must identify them. Once we identify them, then we embrace them, meaning that we don't try to hide from them. We don't suppress them. And one of the ways to be able to not suppress them is through affirmations, by saying positive things to ourselves. It could be prayer. Prayer is a form of affirmation. It could be written affirmation. It can be affirmation cards. HayHouse.com, Louise Hay, is really the masterful diva, as I call her very lovingly, around using positive affirmations to be able to change the outcome in the body. So there's things that we can do. Affirmations is, I love who I am. I accept who I am. And what this does is that those words, and you say it, what it tells the brain is release the endorphins and the neurotransmitters that will tell your body that I love you, body. I accept you, body. So let's go in very quickly with this. In the heart, you store four emotions, one in each chamber. In the upper right chamber, you store fear. In the lower right chamber, you store anger. In the upper left chamber, you store betrayal. And in the lower left chamber, you store sadness. And in that lower left chamber is where we get the ventricle attacks, or the VTACs, which are called heart attacks. So that's where we find sadness. In the stomach, the emotions that we carry are anger, worry, rejection, criticism, and disgust. In the large intestines, we carry anxiety, frustration, and hatred. In the small intestine, grief, sadness, fear over money, or anxiety. The gallbladder are the emotions of denial, rage, and sorrow. Pancreas is grief, disappointment, sadness, hopelessness, and helplessness. In the reproductive organs, in the female, the right ovary is guilt, rejection, and denial. The left ovary is worry and anger. Males, in the testes, it's anger, resentment, anxiety, and disappointment. And for males in the prostate, it's shame. And in the females, shame is held in the uterus. So after years and years, probably, I think I'm almost 30 years of doing this medical intuitive work and blending it with my yellow personality, that researcher, and doing overlays and finding that consistently when I do a medical intuitive reading or deal with a personality color that has illness or discomfort or tension or disease or disorders or syndromes, they're all really different energetically, that I will find these common emotions stored in that part of the body. And as I was sharing with the one caller about deep-seated resentment, and I think that it's always interesting in the metaphors, deep-seated is held closest to the bottom that you spend your life seated upon. So remember that a negative emotion is something that creates anxiety and causes you to react. When you find yourself in this defensive posture, acting emotionally, you are actually in fight or flight. There's a chemistry imbalance in your body. You're feeling compromised. A positive emotion creates the same chemical reaction, but what it does is it creates excitement and it causes us to respond. We find ourselves feeling cooperative and being emotionally sensitive. The difference is that when it's a positive emotion, all of those cancel features that we have in the body, the glands, the endorphins, the neurotransmitters, immediately start secreting in a way that while we still have that anxiety that's attached to excitement, all of a sudden the anxiety goes away and now we're charged, we're enthusiastic, we're ready to go. If that anxiety continues and that you continue to react emotionally, what your soul is saying to you, this is not where you want to be. So very interesting, isn't it? More information, please, I encourage you to go my book, Healing Happens With Your Help. It's available both through HayHouse.com and Amazon.com. Okay, let's go into line four. Hi, how are you?
Hello.
Hello, would you please pronounce your name for me?
Sure, Sabana.
Sabana,
yeah.
My goodness, honey, nice to finally talk to you.
Yes, thank you. I feel fortunate and very appreciative as well.
My pleasure. How can I help you, hon?
Well, gosh, I have a lot of information. I've enjoyed what you've said so far, and I also feel a little overwhelmed by it.
It's kind of like drinking from the fire hose of Carol, so sorry about that one.
No, it's not about you, it's about me. I'm an information collector, and I'm actually trying to quit collecting information, but I wanted to appeal to your intuitive part, and I've had chronic fatigue immune dysfunction syndrome for 30 years, just about the time you went to being intuitive, and I've explored everything that I can possibly think of. And the latest sort of thing everyone's jumping on the bandwagon for, those of us who are just get sicker and sicker over the years, and is Lyme disease. And so I'm seeing somebody who goes, oh, well, I don't, even though, you know, we can't test you accurately, I swear you have Lyme disease. And the treatment is all these antibiotics, which I can't tolerate. And I just have Crohn's disease now, and I have multi-system, so I can't even go to any particular organ anymore. And I just wondered if you could just, you know, go do what you do and say, well, is there Lyme disease in there? And because, you know, I just can't seem to let go of any potential to get well.
We get an information overload that really creates a lot of overload in the body as well. It used to be in the kind of olden days, I'm not sure when that is, we never got information. Now we've got it everywhere around us, and we get very, very confused. The one thing that I do not want to do is I don't want to create any kind of doubt or negate the person that you're working with, but I'm going to tell you very honestly, you do not have Lyme's disease as I'm picking it up, honey. But what I am going to tell you is that you were somewhere around 4 years old and you got bit by something. And whatever you got bit by put a poison in your body that your body is still working with. And it is not a tick. It almost feels like it was a spider to me. It's an insect, that you actually were bit by that just cause this snowball effect. It's like it put a poison in that you had an allergic reaction. Are you allergic to bees?
No. I mean, maybe
a
little.
Okay.
But I was bitten by when I got sick in 78, three things happened, and one that I just dismissed was this huge spider bite. But I was 28.
Yeah. Yep. But again, I think that what it was is I asked immediately, could I please go back to the origin of this? And my sense is whatever, and it feels again like a spider bite. But the reason I'd ask about the bee is that there's a similarity in the type of venom that was in the bite itself that could make you sensitive to bee stings. It can make you sensitive to, you know, spider bites. It could make you sensitive. It just went in, and it's like it created this bacterial infection that's been low grade for a long time in your body. Whenever your body gets out of balance, you don't get enough rest, or maybe you emotions can cause you to turn on yourself. We get irritated with ourselves. We all do. We get agitated, whatever it may be. In this hormonal process that you go through and all these other things, it's like it takes this little tiny bacterial seed and it just causes it to rear its head. I went in to ask if it was a virus, because a lot of it's the symptoms that it creates, and symptoms and then the disorders, meaning that there's so many different facets to it that we're not able to really come to a clear connect the dots to give a diagnosis. But it's like a bacteria that in the perfect environment rears its head. But the most important thing is it causes your immune system, and I go back at 4 years old, has caused your immune system in your entire life to go in and to read anything. I don't care whether it's just you're a little tired, whatever it is, and your immune system immediately overreacts. Another way to say it, your immune system's tired. It's burned out. Your adrenals are burned out from being able to respond to what your immune system is doing. As a result, your body has a high level of cortisol that I'm picking up in you. When we have high levels of cortisol for a prolonged period of time, the pineal gland can't produce what it needs to and the messages to keep the immune system healthy and vital. It becomes sluggish. Sometimes it gets to the point where it doesn't know what to do, which is the case of chronic immune disorder, is the immune system doesn't know what to do. You feed it the right way, you take the right herbs, and the immune system goes, woohoo, I remember what to do, but it never quite does it, and then immediately it forgets again. So it's like you're having to constantly retrain your immune system. When you get on antibiotics, What they do is they go in and they try to find the bacteria, and they certainly quell the bacteria, and they certainly get rid of most of it. But what they don't is they don't get rid of that low-grade infection that you chronically have. And then if you were to get rid of that, my gosh, a doctor would want to put you on antibiotics for probably 3 months, not necessarily a low dosage, and in the process would absolutely destroy your small intestine and, as a result, your digestive tract, which is a lot of what Crohn's is tied to, the immune imbalance, and also tied to imbalance in the gut itself, being most small and large intestine. So, sharing a lot. I know I'm adding a lot to the information, but the one thing is that, of course, I'm going to say to you, knowing who you are, you have to finish gathering the information until it either you resolve that you don't have Lyme's disease or you do. Until that happens, you're going to gather information. The one thing I'm going to tell you, hon, is that what you would like to do is to work with someone. We want them to work with the pineal gland. We want them to look at DHEA. We want them to look at melatonin. We want them to look at your neurotransmitters, your basal ganglia. We want them to look at dopamine. We want them to look at serotonin. We want them to go in and look at what you can do to support your adrenals. When you did that, it'll support your thyroid. When you support your thyroid, it'll support your liver. And then that will support your immune system. You are absolutely right. You cannot do a one-size-fits-all. So I'm going to give you a triangle. Support your thyroid, your liver, and your spleen. And you can do any one, and all three will be affected. Or you can do all three, and then your adrenals will start getting back into a healthy state and not be so depleted. You won't be as tired, and this perfect chemical storm won't allow this bacteria. And it isn't, the poison isn't present, but the bacteria still is. Give you a visual, hun. The bacteria looks like a parasite. And it looks like a parasite that probably is, I'm going to give you a visual. It looks like a maggot. I'm sorry to say it that way, but I needed to give you a visual. If you could go in and visualize that bacteria looking like that, then what you can do is just go find it and then ask your body what it needs in order to fight it. If it were a bacterial, if it was an actual parasite, I would call it a fluke, but it is not. It is actually a poison. It's a bacteria from the poison, and that's why you got so sick, because from the spider bite, from the standpoint that it just reactivated this perfect storm.
Wow.
So, you can, you know, again, let this percolate. And again, not to negate the person, because the person that told you this, really has the puzzle pieces that are needed. My sense is that looking at the symptomology and what we're learning about Lyme's disease, there are enough of the symptoms that seem to fall within that classification. But if they were to go in and look at Lyme disease from a standpoint that it's the spittle or the venom or the bacteria that is in Lyme, that's what causes the breakdown. That's where we need to go. And I hope the visual, as gross as it was, might be able to help you.
I appreciate that. I have trouble coming up with visual. I'm not a highly visual person.
Yeah.
The other thing that I've been working on, my attitude, and, you know, what is it that I think I'm, you know, what's keeping me in my attitude from getting well?
You know what, hon?
Yeah.
I truthfully wouldn't even go there.
Oh, really?
Absolutely. Okay. Right now, we've just got to get your body. We've just got to get your body. You're doing your work. You're doing your emotional work. I wouldn't even go there and try to, you know, churn things up and everything. Just know in your soul you're doing your work. You want to heal, and that's where we need to go. But we've got to get your mind from fixating on your body.
So when I see that maggot, it kind of just I feel afraid, and I don't know how to get it. But I'll ask my body what to do. I mean,
You do. What do you do when you have, you know, go in and study maggots? What do? You take away the food source, sweetie.
Oh. Okay.
So, see those cells as healthy. You know, don't let it hide there anymore. I hate to cut you off. I know that you have tried so many times. I hope that it's helped you and being able to do this, and lots of light and love. And thank you so much for always supporting my work. I want to thank every single one of you for joining me today. I hope that you found this information of value and that you're going to be able to use it. I know it's like I said to the other caller, it's like drinking from the fire hose of Carol. But what I'm going to ask you to do is, if you want to re-listen to this show or even share it with a friend, then you can always go to my website again, www.ritberger.com. Click on library. There you can access all my show archives, and I hope that you enjoy all of it. You have a wonderful week, and I'm going to see you next Wednesday on the radio. Light and love.
You've been listening to the Carol Reiberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com. See you soon.